Turn with me this morning to Joshua chapter 24. Begin in verse 14 this morning. Let's hear the word of God. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing again this morning as we open your word. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive them. And I thank you for it. Amen. Joshua was not a preacher by calling. He was a military man and a governor. But he believed God, and he loved God, and he was devout in his faith. He also loved Israel, and the thing is, he knew Israel. He knew that when Israel was good, she could be very good. But when she was bad, she could be awful. He also knew that her proclivity was to be bad, to follow the desires of her sinful heart. Joshua was dying, and he wanted to use his remaining time to encourage Israel, to exhort them to follow God, to obey God. He spends the last three chapters of this book actually delivering three different sermons. In chapter 22, he addresses the 2.5 tribes, those of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. In 23, he calls the leaders together, and he makes his address to them specifically. And here in chapter 24, Joshua addresses the nation. The three sermons that he delivers in these last chapters are all very similar, yet they do have distinctions. There are differences. As he had done before in the other two, he once again exhorts the people to remember. And it's not simply Joshua himself that's speaking, but it is God speaking through him to the people. He said, remember your heritage. Remember where it was that this all started. When we, as Americans, consider our national heritage, we may take a sense of pride in remembering a Washington or an Adams or a Patrick Henry. These were stalwart men with godly values. A far cry from what represents the people today. And so we can look back in that heritage with some degree of fondness and some degree of warmth and say, oh, you know, if you have anything to you at all, a desire to return to the old ways. But when Joshua begins to recount Israel's heritage, it doesn't go back to a place that says, how great we are. It goes back to a place that says how lost we were. Because when you go back to Father Abraham, to where that nation began, Abraham was a pagan. Abraham was not a follower of God. He lived in Ur of the Chaldees and he served other gods, as did his father and his brother. It was what they did. They served other gods. Abraham was not a godly brother who was just looking for some place to serve. God came to him and moved him. And so for the people, they're looking back, they're being reminded not that they had a great beginning, but they had a wicked beginning. Another danger that existed for these folks at that time, as they reflect on their the history that wasn't so far long ago. That's the word. Thank you. You all get a gold star. There's a danger that they could have sat back and they said, look what we've done. Because sometimes it seems that as we progress through ministries, as we progress through whatever area of life it is that we're in, we can sit back and we say, man, we're pretty good. We did all right. Look at that. We came out of Egypt. We crossed the Red Sea. We survived the wilderness. We came into this land. We conquered it. We defeated mighty people. We were pretty great. They'd been through a lot. They'd accomplished a lot. They'd had great battle victories. But God, through Joshua, reminds the people, I did that. It was me. He said, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in the old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. Here is the reminder that God has to pound over and over again, is I did this for you. I am the one. Yeah, you guys were blessed by what I did, but I did it. You may be a great artist, or a composer, or an athlete, or just a fantastic businessman. And you might work hard to perfect the skills that you have. But if God doesn't give you the gift, and if God isn't the one who enables you, you've got nothing. You can't say God did nothing for me, that I practice 18 hours a day or I do this, whatever, and that's why I'm so great. If God doesn't give you the gift to start with, you've got nothing to work with. You've got nothing to practice. You've got nothing to perfect. God is the one who did it. They needed to be reminded. Hebrews 12:1 tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. King James uses the word beget, and so we commonly refer to those things as begetting sin or besetting sins. Abraham, though he started out as a pagan worshiping other gods, he became a very godly man and taught his family to be so. And yet, there was a besetting thing that was like in the line. Three generations later, his family still had a thing for idols. You recall the story from Genesis where Rachel steals her dad's gods and hides them in a saddle. That causes problems. And Laban's pretty ticked and he's running around and whatever. There was still a desire to possess those things. There was still a desire to hang on to them. That was three generations after Abraham. In our passage this morning, this is many generations after Abraham. And Joshua, in verse 14 and in verse 23, he says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. In 23, he says, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. You see, there was still a desire that was active in the hearts of the people to hold on to old things, to hold on to idols, to hold on to foreign gods. They were shiny. They were glittery. They appealed to them. There was some desire for them. Even though it was Almighty God who had led them through, who had cared for them, who had brought them in to a land that he promised. And he says to them, get rid of those foreign gods. They still hung on to those relics, even though they've been greatly blessed by God. Are we any different than they? You know your heart. You know that past sins, that besetting sins, forgiven sins will tend to haunt you. You struggle with those things. There are those besetting things that cling to you. That you say, God has blessed me. I do my best to serve God. And yet there's this thing that still has its grip on me that I can't seem to shake, whatever it is. And what's bad is even sometimes we dwell on sins that we've asked forgiveness for. If God's word is true, and I say that it is, God's word says plainly, if we confess our sins, if we go to him contritely, he forgives us. So if we hang on to sins in our own mind that God has forgiven we continue to sin. We say that God is powerless. We go to God and we know that we must confess. We know that we must go to him and ask his forgiveness for our sins. But then we don't believe his word. Then we don't believe him. God, I'm forgiven, but I don't feel forgiven. So it goes back to our sermon last week. We spend way too much giving credit to how we feel. And less credit to what is true. Yet these things still, it's a reality. They come and they haunt us. And when those temptations rise up, we struggle. And in that time, when you're confronted, will you remember that you live before the face of God? And will you fight? Or will you say it's too difficult and just give in again? You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. One of the misconceptions that about Calvinism that's commonly spread is that you have no ability to choose. And of course, that misconception is a misconception. It's false. Calvin taught Holy Scripture. Scripture says that when it comes to our salvation, we cannot choose. Dead men have no ability to choose. However, beyond that, we are able to make choices. Like it or not, I was able to choose this tie today. I have several hanging on a hanger. I could have chose something different. But I like this one. It seemed like it was going to go with my jacket that I was going to wear today. I chose to do this. I chose to wear festive colored socks today. Because it just, it completes what did they call it? The total look. Yes, give us the total look. That was a 4-H thing. You can choose what it is within reason what you have for dinner today. You can enjoy a nice steak smothered with bacon. Or you may do your penance and eat a stalk of celery. You can choose. We have that. We have the ability to choose. We have the ability to choose whether or not we will give in to sin. We can choose when that hour comes to us. We can choose whether we will give in to it or whether we will fight it and rely on the strength of Jesus to bring us through. God uses our choices in the carrying out of His will. After going through the first section of this chapter and recounting what it was that God had done for Israel, Joshua tells his people, it's time to choose. Can't help but think of that old Bob Dylan song. You got to serve somebody. That's what he's telling them. You have to choose. You know that whatever the area of our life we discuss, you don't live in those areas in a vacuum. God mercifully, graciously put a desire to worship within us. We're born with that desire. We have to learn to worship God as He desires us to worship Him. But there is put within us the desire to worship. Some people don't worship the Almighty. Some people worship themselves. Some people worship a dollar. I tell you, I've told you 100 times, I'll tell you probably 100 more. There is no such thing as an atheist. There is no such thing. There are people who claim to not believe in Almighty God, but they worship a deity of their own making. He says, the time's come. Fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. It seems like the only real choice. After all that God has done, He deserves your allegiance. He deserves your worship. He deserves your service. But He says, if serving God seems evil to you, choose now who you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Choose. Make a decision. Decide today. Who are you going to serve? He said, will you go back to your fathers, to the gods that were in the land of Ur, that Abraham served in the beginning? Will you go back and will you serve the gods that were abundant in Egypt? The gods when the Almighty sent the plagues, addressed each one and showed how impotent they were. Will you serve them? Will you serve the gods of the Amorites? The Amorites had many. They had many who were fertility gods. They engaged in temple prostitution. They had the god Moloch, which required the sacrifice of your children. Moloch said, bring those children to me and pass them through the fire because I deserve them. Will you serve Moloch? Will you serve the gods of the Amorites? Will you serve the one true God? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The tense that is used when Joshua makes this statement says this: we have served the Lord. We are serving the Lord. And we will continue to serve the Lord till we pass. This was the statement of Joshua. A statement that we ought not make haphandedly. A statement that we should think about before we answer. Because the people of Israel, when Joshua declared his loyalty, that he and his household would serve God, the people of Israel said, yeah, we will too. We're going to do that. They didn't think about it. They were caught up in the moment. They said, of course we will. You ever been in a meeting of some of these home-based businesses things? You ever been in a meeting? I don't even know if Amway is even still alive. But you ever go into one of those meetings and the guy who's holding the meeting will pump you up. And he'll say, and he'll get everybody going. And next thing you know, your neighbor's signing up because I want to get in on this. And the guy on the other side, he's signing up because I want to get in on this. Well, you don't want to look like a fool. You say, you know what? That's not like a good deal. I'm jumping in too. I'm in. Pick me. I'm in. And 2 days later or 2 weeks later or 2 months later, you're saying, what was I thinking? There's more to it than that. I remember there was a guy around here years ago who thought if he signed up for Melaleuca, he could just start getting a check. He didn't have to do anything. Just sign me up. I'm getting a check. All of those businesses are legitimate to a degree, and if you work at anything, you can make money. How much? That varies, but you can do it. These people were caught up in the moment. Joshua said, for me and my house, this is what we're doing. And they said, yeah, we will too. And then Joshua offers really kind of an odd response. He says, no, you won't. Joshua really doubted their sincerity. He said, Joshua, no, we're going to do this. And he said, no, you're not going to do it. Dr. Boyce asked the question. He said, did the people suppose that they had the power in themselves to serve God instead of acknowledging that only God himself could keep them faithful? Do we think that we have it in ourselves to make it happen? Will we faithfully walk this Christian life in our own strength? I tell you, no. If you try to do it in your own power, you are falling down, and you'll fall down quickly. The only way that me and my household can serve God is if God comes in and helps do and does it. The people were given lip service to God, while at the same time having affection for their false gods. Joshua just told them, you got to get rid of the stuff that you have. You can't hang on to those old things. They're detrimental to your health. You've got to get rid of them. They're not hesitating about saying they're going to follow God. They're not hesitating about saying, we're joining with you. But Joshua says, not only you won't do it, he says, you can't do it. He says, God is holy and jealous. He is not going to allow you to keep this other stuff. You can't have it both ways. If you're going to serve the Lord, serve the Lord. But don't say you're going to serve the Lord and say, I'm going to hang on to, well, just a couple of these little really cool golden things because they are kind of nice and I like to look at them once in a while. That stuff has all got to go. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, old things have passed away. They're gone. They have to be put away. What Joshua is doing is trying to keep Israel from condemning itself to a greater judgment. They're saying, yeah, we're going to do this. And Joshua's saying, yeah, you're not. No, you won't. It's not going to happen. But they insisted, we will serve the Lord. There comes a point where you have to let a man stand on his word. You may know in your heart that what he says to you is not true. But if you can't change his mind, eventually you have to stop trying and let the chips fall where they will. You know, as sure as you know you're standing where you're standing, that the guy that you're talking to is not getting it. He's telling you one thing. He may even have a degree of sincerity in his heart when he's saying it to you, but you know better. You know better. And the truth of the matter is, if we flip over just real quick like to Judges chapter 2, and you're going to read almost verbatim, starting in verse 7. It says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. And let me skip down to 13. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. Joshua knew this was coming down the road. He saw it plainly. He tried to impress that upon the people. And people said, no, we're going to serve the Lord. So he let them go. And he says, fine. He says, you are witnesses against yourself. Meaning that at some point in the future, the very thing that you have testified to today is the thing that will condemn you. And so what he did then was write a covenant between the people and God. And then he recorded that he had done so. That recording is this book that we're looking at, particularly this chapter. That's the record of this interchange. And it says, then he put up a large stone as a memorial. And he says, this is a witness to you in verse 27. He says, this is a witness to you, lest you deny God. If you forget somewhere down the line, you look at a stone, you'll be reminded of the confession of your mouth today. We can't make other people's choices. Israel served the Lord as we just saw. Israel served the Lord after Joshua passed away and the whole time that the elders who served with Joshua lived. But after that generation passed, the generation rose that turned their backs on God and did evil in his sight. we do the best that we can to teach, to preach. We do the very best that we can to raise our children in the fear and admonition of God. We do everything that we can to raise a generation that wants to serve the Lord. And our prayer is that God will keep them, that this will become a reality in their lives. Because we don't know that all of our efforts and that we do today, that we might be successful. God might bless them, see this generation raise up that serves Him. But another generation down the road, we don't know. Or the generation after that. We can't make their choices. But we can make ours today. And we can declare with Joshua that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray.